Father, we love you. We thank you and give you honor and praise. Let that word shine forth this morning, breaking barriers and hedges and various things and gates and bars of iron and different things, cutting them down. Hallelujah. Bringing also revelation, knowledge and understanding and light into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's see. We talked about rebuking. God is rebuking devourers and leeches. Well, today, you know, I want to just cover some of the things that we covered, but we will ourselves be rebuking. I think this was one of the highlights, was that we ourselves must rebuke, you know, all devourers and leeches, you know. Those leeches can be deadly. You know, they latch onto something and try to suck the blood out of whatever it is that they latch onto. You know, so today, the text we used yesterday was from Isaiah 62. Powerful stuff. I'm just going to read one or two verses, not the whole thing. We read the whole thing yesterday. You can read the whole thing again on your own. But today, just call out one or two verses. And then I want to say some other things as well. You know, the first part that we want to call out is where the Lord said that, you know, he has sworn by himself. You know, and it's, you know, there's a few places in the Bible where the Lord says that. It's not every time when he says something that he says that. But he did say it this time around. In the book of Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 8, he said, "The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies. And the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine for the which thou hast labored. But they that have gathered it shall also eat it. And praise the Lord. And they that brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness." Praise the Lord. So that was, you know, one of the highlights. The other one was that, you know, the Lord said, "Thou shalt be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. And thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate. But thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee. And thou shalt be married." Praise God. Well, so we are the Lord's delight, and you will no longer be termed forsaken. And you will be called also sought out. And because of all that, the Lord gave instructions to say, go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people, which is what we've been trying to lift up and do during this Emerge series, as we go into it to prepare the people. Today, I want to talk about spoiling the spoilers a little bit. You know, it's a story that Jesus told in Luke chapter 11, verses 21 and 22. You know, these are the devourers. These are the spoilers. And this is what the enemy, when he thinks he's sitting pretty, I got you right where he wants. Well, the Lord said, you know, when a strong man is sitting like that, keeping his goods, he thinks everything is in order, you know. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him, well, let's see what happens to him. Luke chapter 11, verse 21. "When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace." At least that's what he thinks. "But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusted, and then spoil his goods." So this is spoiling the spoiler, you know, and the spoiler that has spoiled the people of God. It is time for God to spoil them, you know, in return. The Lord said to Abraham, you know, he said, look, know of a surety that your seed, in Genesis 15, will be a stranger in a land and so forth, and they will torment them and oppress them. I mean, there will be devourers. There will be all these things in their lives. But know also that I will bring them forth with a strong hand, and they'll come out with great substance, and then I'll punish that nation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, so God said, I will punish those who have punished and pummeled my people. I will punish. Hallelujah. It's going to punish even Leviathan, the great dragon, at the end of the age. The Lord, at the end of days, it will punish him. It will bind him, cast him into the pit for 1,000 years. So after that, though he may be loose for a season, and he goes up against the King of Kings, at the end, his doom is sealed in the lake of fire. That's right. It's going to go there. It's going to go down, and the Lord's people will take possession of all things. Glory to God. You know, I want to let you know today that God has his thoughts towards us for blessings, whereas the enemies is to come in to steal, to kill, destroy, or devour. John chapter 10 and verse 10. But Jesus said, I'm the one that gives you life and that more abundantly. Let's take a look at a quick scripture here in Zechariah chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. I didn't read this yesterday, but I'm going to read it now. Zechariah chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. Praise the Lord. You know, here's what the Lord said in this verse. This man that was part of this vision said, I lifted up my eyes and saw, and behold, I saw four horns. You know, then I asked the angel that talked with me and said, what are these? And he said, well, these are the horns that have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. I mean, these are the ones that have battered the people of God. Pummeled them down. Tormented them and everything. These are all the oppressing spirits. Well, the Lord also showed me four carpenters. And I said, well, what have these come to do? And he said, well, these horns that I showed you at first are the ones that battered down the people of God so that none of them could lift up their head. And that's what they do. The devourers and the leeches. You know, but these other four have come to spoil the spoilers. That's exactly right. You know, so, you know, God has given us the ability to do the same. You know, the tactics that the devil uses, which I've spoken of from time to time in this room, is, well, you can read it again in Exodus 5. Verses 5 to 9. These are some of his tactics, and we can expand that to expose some other things that he does. He said, well, the people of the land are now many, you know, they are increasing, you know, and they're emerging, well, and they have rest on all sides. So, you know, well, let's cut it off. Cut them off at the knees, you know, and he said, look, don't even give them straw to make brick anymore. Let them go gather straw for themselves, you know, and all these things. And, you know, because they are idle, they say, well, we're going to go and sacrifice to the Lord our God, because they are idle. They are idle, you know. So let there be more work laid upon the men. Their labor increase and so forth. They do not regard any of these vain words. Well, that's a tactic the devil's been using from the beginning. when he sees that you are poised to receive the blessings of God, for what? Let me make holes in their bags. So that as the blessing comes in, you know, he always doing that. If he can't prevent the thing, he'll try to devour it. You know, in the book of Revelation 12, we see the great dragon standing before the pregnant woman trying to devour her child as soon as he was born. He couldn't prevent the pregnancy. She's about to emerge and burst forth something. Something significant is about to happen. And, you know, and she said, look, I mean, the dragon rather said, look, well, I couldn't prevent it, but I'm going to swallow it up as soon as it comes forth. But he could not do it. You know, he could not do it. And the Lord will never, you know, give us up to his desire. He'll never be able to do it. But that's what he wants to do. Devour all your blessings and suck up all the things so that you can't get ahead. You know, we talked about, you know, how things get harder and harder. People must work multiple jobs so that they don't have any rest. You know, whereas it is the Lord's will that we have rest. He giveth rest to his beloved. Well, you know, pile up many things. Of course, sometimes through lack of wisdom, and lack of knowledge, people bring all kinds of things upon themselves, which they don't need to be going through at the moment, but they pile things up because of lack of knowledge. They get into financial situations that they don't need to be in, and the devil takes advantage of that. And it's like, look, you just can't have rest. You can't even enjoy. Whereas the Bible says, you know, for a man to enjoy, you know, the work of his labor, you know, is the gift of God. But you really can't enjoy it if you have to work 2-3 jobs, you know, get up early, stay up late, only to eat the bread of sorrows. Then you can't really enjoy it. Psalm 127, verse 2 tells us that, look, it is really vain if that's, you know, that's the kind of life we live. A cycle of work, 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 get up early in the morning, work all day long, come back late at night, and so forth. Next day, repeat it. When are you actually going to enjoy the thing? You know, so you really can't enjoy it. And the reason we do that is so we can pay bills. Bills and bills and bills. Let there be more bills laid in upon them, so that they have to walk more hours and they won't have any time for the Lord. You know, that's always been, you know, one of his tactics. You know, and then even when you are making the money, come up against them with all kinds of problems. Let there be sickness found in their homes, in their lives, among their children, their loved ones, and so forth. So they'll be running helter-skelter. Well, that's the, you know, the enemy has his own conferences as well. You know, they gather together. They say, you know, talk to his demon spirits and his own emissaries and say, well, you know, let's go there and pummel these people. And even when an evil spirit is gone out of a man, Jesus said, look, he goes and have conference with others. You know, and say, look, we need to go back there and torment this person even more, you know, and so forth. They have their own conferences too. You know, say, well, you know, why'd you leave your post? Well, you know, someone cast me out. Well, you know, I need more help. You know, let's go back there and make life even harder for them. And if they come back and find that the place was not filled by the Holy Spirit, if the place is empty, then of course, 7 more spirits come in there, make life 7 times worse. You know, and so forth. Well, the Lord has his own conference too. You know, the conference of the Lord, you know, is among, you know, where the Lord gives his counsel. And the counsel of the Lord towards his people are good. You know, and the Lord will say, look, you know, you go down there and make sure, you know, my children are protected. Hallelujah. The scripture says he gives his angels charge over you. Keep you in all your ways. He gives them charge. He calls them up. Say, look, you go down there. Take care of business. Protect my children. For they are the apple of my eye. See to it that nothing evil happens to them. And the Lord does that. And then again, but the Lord, he also sees that the people wander away because of lack of instruction and lack of knowledge. Sometimes they are destroyed, the Bible says in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. So the Lord will also then raise up and send instructors, you know, and teachers to help to bring the people back to where they should be by the voice of the Holy Spirit. I will instruct you the way that you should go. You know, I will guide you and so forth. Psalm 32 and verse 8. Now, the power of Satan to oppress, to pummel, to do all of these things, it's there, but it's really no match for the Lord. You know, so today and every day, we've got to take our rightful position. And there's a story in 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 15, you know, that the Lord showed, you know, when they captured the ark, they brought the ark into the house of Dagon. Mm-hmm. And this Dagon was an image made, perhaps molten, perhaps carved, whatever, that they, you know, put up there, and the people worshipped the work of their own hands. And they brought the ark into that place to desecrate it. But lo and behold, when they woke up in the morning, Dagon was falling before the ark. Now, that's exactly right. And the power of God is in your life, saturated by the word of God and the praise of God and walking in the light. Every Dagon or otherwise that stands before you will fall down before the ark. That's right. We are the very ark. We are the carriers of God's glory. So let Dagon fall before the ark. Praise the Lord. And when they come in the morning, they beheld, and lo, Dagon was falling upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 1, you can read verses 1 through 5. And then they set Dagon in his place again. Perhaps they thought, well, maybe it just tripped. You know, so that was the first time. You know, you just fell. And then next time, the Lord was going to show them, well, he wasn't just tripping. You know, he fell down this time. He was broken. Hallelujah. Head of Dagon and both his palms and hands were cut off on the threshold. Only the stump remained. Well, the Lord had cut off the head of the dragon at the cross. Glory to God. You know, head of that serpent. And now he leaves the stump for you to stomp the residue down. Glory to God. Stomp it down. Crush it with your feet. As it is written, the Lord, you know, bruised an enemy under your feet. And then you will be the one to crush him and finish him off. And, you know, don't even let him raise his ugly head. Finish him off. Praise the Lord. You know, Romans chapter 16 and verse 20. The God of peace, bruise Satan under your feet. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord is rebuking the devil. I talked briefly yesterday about, you know, how you do the rebuke. Well, the Lord, first of all, when he fights for his people, the light of his countenance is what rebukes the enemy of his people. The Lord frowns upon them. You know, the Lord, all he has to do is withdraw his light or frown, and there, you know, everything is upside down. So when the Lord frowns upon your enemies, then they're upside down. I'm not talking of human beings now. I'm talking about demonic spirits. And then, more importantly, when the Lord actually utters his voice before his camp. Hallelujah. Say, great is the voice of the Lord. The Lord will say, Satan, get thee behind my people. Praise the Lord. You know, and we can do the same. We must stand up and fight. Don't stay somewhere and say, oh, the devil this, oh, the devil that. People are always saying that, you know. And we give more credit to the devil than we give to the Lord many times, you know. And the devil likes it. when people are always saying the devil did this, the devil did this. Most of the time, it's something we did anyway, you know, but we blame it on the devil, you know, because through our foolishness, you know, we allow the enemy in. Whoso breaketh a hedge, a serpent will come in and bite. The serpent cannot bite when the hedge is around you, period. It can't do it. You know, so one way to rebuke the devourer and, you know, all the leeches is to make sure there is no peace broken in the hedge that is around you. That's right. And that's why the Bible says in 1 Peter 5 and 8, and I believe we mentioned this yesterday, that the enemy is going around, say, prowler, looking for whom he may devour. Can't devour everybody, but he's looking for where there is a broken hedge. He's coiled up, ready to strike. You know, so you make sure that you got the shield of faith around you. And we got, you know, but dwelling in the secret place of the Lord, we are covered. Praise the Lord. And don't give in to any of the devices of the devil. Use the scriptures daily for yourself. You know, the word of God is so, so powerful. You know, you can stand up and decree the word of God against all manner of things. You know, I've heard people where even there were, there was an incoming hurricane and so forth. I've heard, you know, the people gathered together and they prayed and commanded and said, let this thing pass over us in the name of Jesus Christ. I've heard testimonies like that, and it passed over them, destroyed all kinds of things around them, you know, and passed over them. And, you know, if you know how to use the word of God for yourself, can prevent a lot of things. The enemy that's trying to devour things up. I mean, can you imagine people that, you know, built a house? I don't know how long it took them to build it. And in one moment, the hurricane destroyed everything. That's a devourer, you know. And don't let that happen. You know, you stand your watch. You cover yourself with the blood of Jesus. Cover your family. You know, and I've heard, you know, these days, lately also, you know, sickness, disease just seem to be coming upon the children of God. Well, you know, burdens and different things and so forth. Now, that's not God's plan for us. You know, so, you know, let's read some scriptures of how we need to push back. That's right. We need to push back and we need to stand up against all things that are trying to devour or steal our joy or suck away a blessing of God in our lives. Yeah, so here are some scriptures, you know, that we can use to fight the good fight. You know, we got to fight the good fight. Praise the Lord. Whether it is, you know, sometimes the devil, when he can't get a hold of you, well, he go after your children, you know, and that's his tactic too. You know, the devil knows that he can't fight the Lord, so he'll go after God's children. And then he does the same thing for you too, you know. Because he believes that, you know, if he can go after God's children, you know, he wants to get the Lord back by going after the children of the Lord. Well, if he can't get you directly, he'll go after your children as well. We're not going to put up with any of that, you know. Now, here are some promises that we can use to push back the devourers, push back the leeches in our own lives, and even the lives of our children. And, you know, even sometimes the children, you know, that's like in the day of Job, he always praying for his children because he said, well, I don't know, but adventure, they've committed some evil. They've spoken some, you know, things against the Lord in their mouth or their heart or whatever. You know, peradventure they've done some evil. So he stood in the gap. Well, listen to this. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, verses 24-26. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty? Well, we read that in Luke chapter 11 already. You know, the mighty, you know, is in the hand of the prey. The prey thinks that, I mean, the mighty man thinks that his goods are in peace. Well, shall the lawful captive be delivered? Lawful captive means, you know, somebody that walked into the thing with their own eyes open, like the prodigal son. You know, he went down to Sin City, you know, and squandered all his stuff, you know, in riotous living. You know, he did that on his own. He brought that evil upon his own head. He was a lawful captive. You know, but even though that was the situation, the Lord said, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away from him. Why? Because a stronger than him shall come upon him and bind him and spoil his goods. You know, the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. And I will contend, glory to God, with him that contended with thee. I will save thy children. Here's what God's going to do. You know, turn around and said, feed them that oppress you with their own flesh. Now, this is, you know, now the mighty become the prey. The spoiler becomes the spoiled. You know, the drunken with their own blood and so forth. And you know, the Lord, when he was going to bring them with a strong hand out of the land of Egypt, they spoiled their enemies that had spoiled them for years. The Lord brought them up out also with great substance. Praise the Lord. And it is the anointing of the Lord that's on your life through, you know, using the word of God and listening to encouraging messages like this that breaks the yoke. And here's what the Lord said in Isaiah chapter 14. Let's read verses 24 and 25. Praise the Lord. The decree of the Lord is as follows. Hallelujah. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, that's right, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break, that's right, the devourer. Now, the Assyrian is the devourer, and the leeches and so forth. I will break him in my land, and upon my mountains, I'm going to tread him underfoot. Now, this is the Lord himself, you know. And then shall his yoke depart off of my people. Mm-hmm. The Lord is now rebuking the devourer, rebuking the leeches, and causing the devil's yoke to be broken off of your shoulder. Praise the Lord. Yeah, this is the Lord. He's doing it. And that's one of the things he's doing for us in this Emerge series as you position yourself. But he wants us to understand that, you know, what the Lord has commanded, we can echo. Hallelujah. The Lord has commanded, said the Lord command deliverances for Zion. Well, he's already commanded it. So you need to enforce it. The Lord's already rebuked the devil. The Lord's already rebuked the Assyrian. The Lord's already broken his yoke. But you need to keep on enforcing that every day. Don't let the devil, you know, come on in there and spoil what God is giving you. No. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. And this is the hand that stretched out upon all nations. And the Lord has purposed it that he's going to break the devourer. He's going to break the Assyrian. And he's going to cause his yoke to depart off your shoulder. Well, the Lord has purposed it. And his hand is stretched out. And who shall disarm all it? Or who shall turn it back? You know, that's the Lord. He knows how to do these things. He'll break the fury of the oppressor, you know, praise the Lord. Now, let's read Isaiah chapter 51, verses 12 and 13. I love, you know, this book of Isaiah. Anytime I want to encourage myself, I always go in there. It's a lot of promises, you know. Therefore, the ransomed of the Lord, or the redeemed of the Lord, from verse 11, shall return and come with singing unto Zion. An everlasting joy shall be upon their head. Well, the reason they'll be singing is because the yoke has been broken off of their shoulders. Hallelujah. And they shall obtain gladness and joy. Sorrow and mourning shall flee away. I, even I, saith the Lord, I am he that comforteth you. That's right. With these words that the Lord is fighting for you. Who art thou then that thou shouldest be afraid of a man? Thou shalt die, and of this son of man shall be made as grass. What are you afraid of? Saith the Lord. And forgetteth the Lord thy maker, that stretched forth the heavens, and laid the foundations of the earth, and has feared continually, every day, because of the fury of the oppressor, as if, you know, the oppressor can do something. And, you know, as if he's ready to destroy, as if he's ready to devour at once. And the Lord said, where is the fury of the oppressor? Because the fury of the oppressor is broken. Hallelujah. The Lord is breaking, you know, and he has broken it. So now we must stand in that liberty and we must enjoy the freedom of the Lord. Listen to Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 13. These are some of the promises that we must use for ourselves in rebuking devourers, breaking off the leeches from our backs, the burdens from off of our shoulder, and different things. We should not allow these things again. The Lord said, no, you have been set free. Don't be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. I am the Lord. Leviticus 26 and 13. I am the Lord your God. Now, the Lord was always reminding them of that. Do we need, seriously, ladies and gentlemen, seriously, do we need the Lord to be reminding us that he's the Lord our God? Let's not be like these Israelites that God had to remind them every day. You know this already. You should be the one reminding the Lord that, Lord, you are my God and my shield. Hallelujah. You know, we don't need the Lord to be, you know, having to remind us every day. It's because the people forgot, you know, and we must never forget. You come and bring and tell the Lord how great he is. Tell him how the blast of his nostrils can pummel down your enemies. And tell him that his right hand and his holy arm, you know, and so forth. You know, just tell him great things. You know, he doesn't need to be the one telling us. You know, you come on before the Lord and tell him the great things and let him stand up and fight for you when you do that. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt. I had to constantly remind them, you know, because, you know, their hearts were soon removed from the Lord. But here's the reason I brought you forth, he said. I brought you forth so that you should not be bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yokes. Cause you to go upright. You know, when they're laying those burdens upon them, they can't even go upright. They are bent over. And the devil said, let there be more burdens laden upon the people. Let them have to work more jobs, you know, cause inflation to rise. You know, they can't pay their bills. They can't do any of these things, you know, and they can't even stand upright. They are burdened over. They are bent over because of the burdens that are laden on their backs and their necks. The Lord said, no, I've broken all of that and caused you to go upright. Praise ye the Lord. You know, go upright, stand up, you know, like a child of the king. Don't let your head be bowed down. Don't let the enemy put these things upon you. Well, you got to use wisdom, though. You know, so, but here are those promises you can use. Isaiah 10 and 27 tells you the Lord will break. That's right. All these things that the enemy, the devourers, the leeches and so forth, he will break it. And the way he breaks it, we call it the breaker anointing. That's what I call it. The breaker anointing is given to you here in Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 27. That's a breaker anointing. You know, it says, you know, it shall come to pass that his burden shall be broken from off your shoulder and his yoke from off your neck. And here is how he does it. It shall be destroyed because of the anointing of the Lord. Now, how do you get that anointing? By standing in his presence, by repeating his word in praise, and by walking in the light. That's how you do it. You know, the breaker anointing is with you to destroy the devourers and the leeches. Glory to God. Now, every battle of the warrior, the Lord said, is with confused noise. Glory to God. But this one shall be with burning and fuel of fire. Let me read to you Isaiah chapter 9, verse 4, and then verse 5. For the Lord has broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of the oppressor, has broken it. You know, so, you know, knowing that the Lord has done these things, we need to now stand and do the same and use his word. You know, you can't go into hand-to-hand combat with demonic spirits, because they are spirits, you know, but you do it in the spirit realm. That's right. In the spirit realm, you know, you use the word of God to pull down strongholds. Use the word of God to cast down imaginations and so forth. That's how you do it. Every battle of the warrior is with confused norms and garments rolled with blood. But this one, through the power and anointing of the Lord, will be like the burning and fuel of fire. God will set fire against all the enemies that have pummeled you. Lord, by the anointing, will break the yoke off of your shoulder. But you must stand up and do the same for yourself. You know, praise the Lord. Isaiah 52 verse 2. I call it the snap out of it scripture. He said, look, shake thyself from the dust and loose thyself from the bands around your neck. The Lord has already broken all these things. Don't let the enemy put them on your neck again. You know, so you got to shake yourself. Snap out of it. You know, sometimes people are, you know, they go around with self-pity and all these things and so forth. The devil loves that. You know, when you bemoan yourself, he loves that. Now, you know, God hates that stuff. You know, don't bemoan yourself. You know, shake yourself from the dust. Remove ashes from your hair. Hallelujah. Loose the bands from the around your own neck. You can do it yourself. You don't need anybody to do it for you. Because the Lord's already done it. Don't let the enemy put it back on you. You know, why? Because the Lord has already broken the gates of brass. Psalm 107, verses 15 and 16. He has already cut asunder, you know, the bars of iron. He has done it. So he's giving us the ability to do the same. Did you know that the scripture says that Jesus, he spoiled principalities and powers in the book of Colossians chapter 2? Let's read verse 15. This is Christ spoiling the spoilers. You know, he said, look, he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. You know, that's verse 14. All the things that were contrary against us, he took them out of the way. He nailed them to his cross. And he spoiled principalities and powers. And these were the spoilers that have spoiled and battered down the people of God. You know, but God brought the Christ. And he made an open show and spoiled them and triumphed over them and so forth. And he did it. And so you can remind the devil and you can quote these scriptures and say that Jesus has already spoiled and stripped him of his powers. You know, that's right. The devil at one time had the keys of hell and death. And the Lord, he went down there. He whooped him. Glory to God. That's right. And he got the keys of hell and death. You know, and that, you know, that's the reason why no child of God should anymore be afraid, you know, of death and so forth. That's the power that the devil had. But listen to what the scripture says in the book of Hebrews chapter 2. You know, for as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, verse 14, Christ also himself likewise took part of the same, that through his death he might destroy him that had power over death, that is the devil. Well, if that was the plan, did Jesus die? You know, did he raise again? If through his death he would destroy the power of the devil, then did he do it? Absolutely. Did he not hang upon the cross and say it is finished? Yeah, sure he did. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Yeah, and delivered you from it. Don't be subject to it. Fear is the thing that the devil uses. Grip everybody's heart, you know, and so forth. Even Job, in Job chapter 3:25, he said, finally confessed, he said, look, the thing that I've greatly feared, that which I was afraid of, has come upon me. You know, even though he was praying for all his children and so forth, he was entertaining fear, you know, that the devil will get his children, that something evil might happen to them and so on. And the devil, he smelled that. You know, these animals that are in the bush, these wild animals, you know, we're told that they can smell that fear and that adrenaline. That's why sometimes you're told, just stand still right there, you know, and do a stare down. You know, but if you're afraid, you turn and run, they can smell that fear. The devil, he's got that ultra sense. He knows where their fear is at and he'll capitalize on it. You know, but you must be the one to open that gateway devil can't put it upon you. He'll try. But once you open it up to him, then he's got an anchor. It will come in there. My goodness. It will take root, do all kinds of things through that fear. You know, the thing that I greatly fear, Job said in 3:25, that's the thing that came upon me. So Jesus had delivered us, you know, all this fear, the devil is this, the devil is that. Jesus had delivered us from it. Praise the Lord. Even from the fear of death. Hallelujah. You know, so we're no longer afraid. You know, the overcoming the fear of death was one of the weapons that they used in the book of Revelation chapter 12 verse 11. They had the blood of Jesus. They had the word of their testimony. And they overcame because they had no fear for death at all. You know, devil couldn't, you know, say them, I'm going to kill you or this and that, or be afraid for their lives. They were not, you know, they were sold out for Jesus and zoned out against anything else. Praise the Lord. Now, the Lord is empowering us to do these things and have the victory within ourselves. How did he put it? Well, this is the victory that overcomes the world. Well, first of all, who is he that overcometh the world? He said in First John chapter 5, you know, how are you going to overcome all these things? Well, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. First John chapter 5 verse 4. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You know, that's why I always preach on faith. Now, if you have that faith, boy, you can do all kinds of things, you know. And who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ, Son of God. Now, so we need that faith. And Paul, he was writing about in Ephesians chapter 6, he said, look, take on all these things to protect yourself. But above all, you know, why do you have to say that? Well, above all, take on the shield of faith. And you can put on the breastplate of righteousness. You can put on the helmet of salvation. You can put on the girdle of truth. You can put on the shoes of preparation of the gospel. You can do all these things. But above all, you know, now, faith is the above all. That's right. Above all, you take the shield of faith and you can use it to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. You put up that shield. He throws it, you put it up right there. It's a force field. And you know, if you have that faith, even when you are sleeping, that force field will still be around you. Praise God. You know, you've developed it to the point where it's surrounding you. It's like an invisible force field, but the spirit world, they can see it. They can see it, you know, and they move on to the next unprotected person. When they try to come in against you, they'll gnash upon you with their teeth. They stumble and fell because they come up against that force field and they blow them back like that, you know. And then, well, they have to move on and try to find some unprotected person to gnash against them. But not you. You got that power. Glory to God. And you use the power of faith to put, you know, yourselves in the right place. You know, dwelleth in the secret place of the Lord, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Well, that's more than a review from yesterday, I think. But, you know, so that's the subject of, you know, rebuking the devourers and the leeches. But let me tell you a couple other stories that I just want to tell you. How God does rebuke people that are trying to suppress your growth and your advancement. You know, powerful story in Genesis, you know, chapter 31. Well, you know, many things in the life of Jacob. And I've told these stories before. But because of this topic that we are talking about, how God rebuked Laban, you know, for Jacob's sake, you know. And not only that, not only did God rebuke him through giving. There's many ways that God brings his rebuke, right? He saw that Laban was, tricking Jacob out of his blessings. And God wanted Jacob to prosper. God already put a blessing on Jacob even while he was in the womb. Put a blessing upon him that he will be head. He'll be above his brother, you know, and so forth, you know. And But the enemy, you know, tried to put him down. I mean, first it was 7 years, then it was another 7 years, then it was another 6 years. I mean, 20 years already. And every time this man changed his wages, you know, I tricked him up and wouldn't let him go and set up his own house. You know, so finally, you know, after 14 years and all of that, and, you know, a few years into these last 6 years, the Lord came to Jacob in a dream and said, look, I'm going to show you, I'm going to give you wisdom. I am going to rebuke this Laban for you. How did the Lord do it? Lord gave Jacob an incredible understanding. You know, by revelation, Lord showed him all the cattle that will be strong when they are mating, and showed him all the ones that will be weak. And he said, here's what you're going to do. The Lord put some power in his hand, showed him what to do in a dream. Hallelujah. And then he did it. And that's how the Lord rebuked, you know, Laban, and tried to turn, Laban tried to suppress him, but God turned, you know, these tables around. And even the Lord came to Laban when he was pursuing Jacob, and Lord told him, he rebuked him in the night. Said, don't say anything to him, good or evil. Let him alone. The Lord will rebuke the enemy for your sake. You know, the Lord rebuked Abimelech, you know, and, you know, against Abraham. Said, look, better restore the man his wife. Otherwise, you know, you are going to be in trouble. And immediately the Lord struck his whole house with all kinds of sickness and disease. And the man had to cry out. He said, well, the Lord told him, well, cry out to him. He's my prophet. He will pray for you. Now, many people didn't know that God referred to Abraham as God's prophet. How many prophecies did Abraham really give? But he was yet God's prophet. And the Lord said, look, he'll pray for you, but you better restore his wife. The Lord rebuked him in the night, in the dream, and so forth. He rebuked them. You know, the Bible says he rebuked them. He suffered no one to hurt them, because they were the apple of his eyes. You know, he rebuked nations for their sakes and so forth. The light of his countenance, you know, was against their enemies. And so the Lord can rebuke all those things on your behalf. And he's already done it in Christ. See, he had done it in Christ. All of that was before Christ came. Now that Christ has come, he has spoiled principalities and powers. He has broken, you know, the chains. He has finished and cut short the work. I mean, God actually cut it short. I mean, Jesus could have taken him, you know, years, you know, I mean, he could have lived to be 70 years before he accomplished all those things, but he cut it short. Waited for him to be a man, according to the laws of Rabbi, 30 years. That's it. And after that, finished it, cut it short in righteousness. You know, just 3.5 years after that, he was done. And my goodness, when he hung upon that cross, he said, it is finished. Praise the Lord. So now we have the power. And we can use that power that the Lord has put into our hands. So that's a summary and more from yesterday, rebuking the devourer and leeches. Now, what are those, some of those devourers and those leeches? You know, well, Jesus said the enemy comes to steal, to kill, to destroy, to devour. You know, that's it. You know, the enemy has said in his heart, I will arise, I will devour at once. That's what the devil says. You know, I'll put all these things upon them, I'll put holes in their backs. I'll put, these are all devourers. You know, every time that, you know, you, I mean, more than your strength seems to be upon you, the Lord will never put you more than your strength. It's the devil that puts all these things upon the people, you know, and sometimes because of our own carelessness or foolishness, but they will take advantage of it and they make sure that you cannot go straight. Those are devourers. Leeches, you know, all these leeches, you know, things that try to siphon your blessing. You know, the Lord put a blessing upon you. You earn money, but you put in a bag of holes. You know, the next thing you know, you're working so hard, but yet, you know, everything's breaking. You know, something breaks in your house. Today it's plumbing. The next day it's air conditioning. The next day it's your roof. The next day it's your garage. You know, next day it's your car that's broken down. and so on and so forth. You know, all these things, you know, you just have to spend money, you know, as you are earning it, you're spending it to fix problems. And then when it's not that, then it's sickness. It's either yourself or your loved one or your child, you're running up and down and so forth. Yeah, these are leeches, you know, and God is the one that gives his people rest and quietness. God is the one that has ordered, you know, and say, what did the doctor order? Well, I'll tell you what the Lord ordered. What the Lord ordered for you, praise God, is peace and is quietness. That's what the Lord ordered for you. The Lord did not order for you all this evil. And he said it in Jeremiah 29 and 11. What has he ordered for you? Well, thoughts of good, thoughts of peace, and not of evil. But the enemy is the one that tries to bring evil. Now, when we are walking in righteousness, then we have the power. You know, when we're walking in the light, then we have the power. You might remember the story of the sons of Sceva that went up against the devils and said, you know, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you, come out of there. And I said, well, Jesus, we know, and Paul, we know, but who are ye? You know, and they, you know, devil, the man that was possessed of the devil, you know, leaped upon them and tore their clothes to pieces and all of that. Well, because they didn't have the power and they were trying to, you know, make, you know, like they did. They didn't. The devil, he knows who's who. He knows Jesus and he knows Paul. Does the devil know you? You know, that's right. You know, does the devil know you? You better make sure. The Bible says even the enemies will speak. I mean, the children will speak with the enemies in the gate. You know, train up your children. Speak with the enemies in the gate. You yourself stand and speak with the enemies in the gate. I'm not coming inside my house. You know, you're not coming. And if he was already in there by any means, kick him out of there. You know, kick him out. And say, this place is now under new management. Out of here. The Lord gave us a commandment. Everywhere you find the devil, cast him out. Don't negotiate anything with him. Just cast him out. It doesn't belong. You know, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That makes the devil, you know, an illegal occupant wherever you find him. You know, so get him out of there. Definitely not in your family, you know, and not in your house. Hallelujah. And so get him out of there. Now, here's what God ordered for you. Again, Isaiah 32 and 17. The work of righteousness shall be peace. The effect of righteousness shall be quietness, rest, and assurance forever. It's what God wants you to have. And anything that is contrary against that, well, Jesus said, all things that my Father has not planted, Matthew 15 and 13, shall be rooted out. So all the, you know, trouble, waters and so forth, that's not what God has planted. That's the enemy. Rebuke the storm in your life and tell the storm to be quiet. Yesterday, I gave us a secret about rebuking. You know, do something when you say you want to rebuke. You know, you actually have to do something. If the storm is raging, don't just say, I rebuke you, storm. Tell the storm, be quiet, move over and pass over my house and go someplace else. That's rebuke. You know, when a child is making noise, you tell the child, be quiet. That's rebuke. You don't just tell the child, I rebuke you. You actually tell the devil, show him the way, show him the door, get out of your house and so forth. And when there is sickness and disease and so forth, get them out of there. That's a rebuke. Command, Jesus said, look, cast him out, you know. And if the devil is trying to raise up his ugly hair, you tell him, be quiet and get out of my life. Jesus, that's what Jesus did to Peter. When Peter was trying to say something to discourage him from going to the cross, the Lord looked at him and he said, Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. That's a rebuke right there. So we need to know how to rebuke the enemy. The walk of righteousness is your portion. And did you know when, you know, when the Lord is trying to bless people, he will give you peace, quietness, and assurance forever. you know, these are the things that he will give you. You know, the some of the kings of Israel, the Lord will say, oh, you know, like Asa at first, he said, Lord, the Lord gave him 15 years rest on every side. Solomon, God gave him rest. You know, David fought all the battles and God gave him rest. You know, rest and assurance, that is a good thing to get from the Lord. You know, so God wants us to have rest. God wants us to have assurance. And anything else that come up against that, we must fight, we must stand up, we must rebuke, and we must push back those forces. All right, well, that's it for today. And for those that missed yesterday and tried to listen to the replay, and the replay wasn't quite working, at least you got some lesson out of today. Didn't quite say exactly what I said yesterday, perhaps a little more, but, you know, the matter is the same. And this is by the decree of the holy watchers and by the word of the holy ones. You know, the Lord has spoken it, you know, once I've heard it and even twice, that in the beginning of this year, the Lord said you will emerge. And now he's saying again that you shall surely emerge. Said, I have sworn by my right hand, my holy arm, actually, that you will surely emerge. And now that you are poised on the verge of that, the Lord is showing you what you must do to make sure that the enemy doesn't come in there and try to foul it up, you know, and suck it up and block your advancement. You know, so all the things that the enemy try to bring to make sure you do not advance. Whereas God said you will be the head, the devil said, oh no, I'm going to make sure they don't get ahead. Whereas the Lord said, you will be lenders only and not borrowers. Oh, they will say, oh no, I'm going to pile all kinds of things on them. We're going to cloud their judgment so they go and borrow. Yeah, and so on and so forth. I mean, whereas the Lord said, I am the Lord that healeth thee and I'll put none of these sicknesses upon you. They will say, oh no, I'm going to come up against them and try to eat up their flesh with cancer, with this, with that, and the other thing. You know, now, those are things, devourers and leeches that we must command and get them out of our lives. And yesterday, for everyone that was in the room, I actually went through the whole room, called the name of the Lord over every single one. And I will not be doing that today. I believe we did that already yesterday, but I will pray. And the instruction today is that you take these words and you use them for yourself as well. You shake yourself from the dust. You loose yourself from the bands around your neck. And you rebuke the devourer. Put handcuffs, spiritual handcuffs around his hands, you know. According to Job chapter 5 verse 12, we're told that the Lord would disappoint the devices of the wicked. And then you use the word of God, say, let their devices be disappointed. That's right. Let the tokens of the enemies be frustrated, because that's what the Lord already said, you know, so that their hands cannot perform any of their enterprise. And let every sickness and every disease that come up against me or come up to eat my flesh, let it stumble and fall in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for your children today. Hallelujah. Because we are the children of the King. We are crowned with loving kindness and tender mercies. As it is written, the mountains may depart, the hills may be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Nor, neither shall my covenant of peace, the covenant of my peace, be removed from you, saith the Lord. So Lord, as it is written, let your people be surrounded with your loving kindness and the covenant of your peace. And I come against imaginations that said, let them be laden with burdens. Let there be more burdens laden upon them so that they won't have time. Well, I come against those burdensome spirits, the yokes, you know, and so forth, the horns that have tried to, to torment the people of God, the oppressing spirits, the bands of wickedness, the spiritual wickedness in high places and so forth. And all the yokes that the enemy tried to put upon God's people, we come against them in the name of Jesus. The Lord said, I have broken. That's right. I've broken the bands of wickedness. Glory to God. Now, Dagon is falling before the people of God. Let every Dagon and every imagination of the devil fall before the people of God. In Jesus' name. Let the powers of devourers be broken. Let the spoilers that have spoiled the people of God be spoiled themselves. And the blessing of the Lord that God has put upon his people, let the people themselves stand up, fight for it, and drive away. And the Lord, Holy Spirit just told me to read a verse right now. And I'm going to read it for you. Because this is something that you must do for yourself. Praise the Lord. You know, now, in the book of Genesis chapter 15, when the Lord gave Abraham a tremendous promise, and he gave, you know, Abraham set up a sacrifice for the Lord, and this is the beginning of that covenant. Here's what happened. You know, the fowls came down upon those carcasses that Abraham cut up all the sacrifice, but Abraham had to drive them away. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 11. The Lord just told me, read that. Well, I don't know why, but you've got to drive away the enemy that's trying to sweep down on your blessing. You must drive them away. Now, Abraham didn't let, you know, all those fowls of the air come down on his sacrifice, the preparation of his heart for the covenant. He wouldn't let the devil do it. And you must also stand up and do the same. We thank you, Father. We give you the praise for the victory, and thy people shall surely emerge because you have ordered it. You have commanded it. And the Lord says unto you, have not I commanded you? Therefore, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, neither be dismayed, but go forward and arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord and his beauty has risen upon you, and it shall be seen. We give the Lord the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.